Welcome to our Easter celebration here on Brit David Podcast, as Pastor Tim brings us a message today entitled Resurrection Day from Luke chapter 23 verse 50 through chapter 24 verse 12. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most pivotal moment in the history of the world. Because of His resurrection, everything changed for eternity. Yet some are unwilling to believe. They offer ridiculous theories, but the simple truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ can change your life forever. Consider the proofs that Luke offers to the reality of Resurrection Day. Here's Pastor Tim.
Amen. You can be seated. That's good stuff. Today here and all around the world, people are celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and churches are continually pointing people to the fact that Jesus is alive and risen. The Bible says that He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, and He is continually making intercession for us, praying for us, praying for you during your times of tribulation and trial, your times of temptation. Know that the living Son of God is praying for you, pulling for you, that you might do well. Now, we're celebrating the resurrection, but there are some around the world who are not celebrating that today. Some who don't believe in the resurrection, some who don't believe in Jesus, those who don't believe the Bible, who don't believe those accounts. How sad today must be for them. About 60 years ago, there was a book that was written called The Passover Plot. In this book, the assertion was made that Jesus took some kind of drug on the day of His crucifixion, and instead of dying on the cross, He simply fainted or swooned, and this drug made it mimic death so that they assumed that He was dead, put Him in this tomb, and in the coolness of that damp cave, He finally resuscitated and sort of came back to life again, they would say. It's what they call the swoon theory. The Bible doesn't say that the wages of sin is swooning. It says the wages of sin is death. This is not resuscitation day. This is not recovery day. This is resurrection day. You need to know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus has died and Jesus has risen again. That makes all the difference in the world. And no matter what kind of theories that people come up with, and there's some crazy ones. For example, there's not only the swoon theory, there's the hallucination theory. The hallucination theory says that the disciples were so overwhelmed with grief that they just saw Jesus and heard Jesus in different places, and they just assumed then that He was resurrected. There was one called the mistaken identity theory, in that somebody else died on the cross that day. And so later when they saw Jesus, He must be resurrected. Closely akin to that was one called the identical twin theory. Jesus had an identical twin who died on the cross, and then when they saw Jesus, they assumed that he was the one who was raised from the dead. Let me tell you this real quick. Is Jay and them up there? When Jay Wilson's dad passed away, LaDon Wilson, we went to the funeral home on that Friday to do the visitation. I went, Dina went, Alex went. I'm not sure if Juliana was with us then, but Alex was little. And so we're at the place and we're there to comfort the family. We know that LaDon has now passed away. And open the doors, and LaVon Wilson walked in the doors. And Alex's eyes got about that big. That's what I think about when I think about this theory. When they saw Jesus, their eyes just got big. You know, somewhere along the line, you know that there's some crazy thoughts, right? This one may be my favorite. It's called the alien theory. Jesus wasn't really human. He was an alien from a technologically advanced world who came to this world and seduced people with his miracles and convinced crowds that he was some kind of God. He went to the cross, he was laid in a tomb, and then beamed himself out. I think somebody else had been beamed out, if you know what I mean, by that point. You know, when we say that Jesus is raised from the dead, somebody somewhere has got to say, what proof do you have? What proof do you have that Jesus is raised from the dead? We could go to the fact and say, well, you could go to his tomb right now and it's empty. The only people that are in his tomb are visitors. There to take pictures, not there to mourn a loss. But what proof do you really have that Jesus has died, that Jesus has been in the grave? You know, the Bible says that you have to have two or three witnesses in order for something to be made right. In fact, listen to this verse out of Deuteronomy. It says, whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Our American law goes right into that. We have the two witness rule. In fact, in the U.S. Constitution, you find it reading, no person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act. So we need some witnesses. Jesus calls us to believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this call to belief is not a blind belief, but a belief that is based on evidence. A belief that is based on fact. And so we go to the Bible today, to the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter number 23, and Luke provides for us evidences or proofs of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. While you're turning to Luke chapter 23, I'll tell you this real quick. When I was in Memphis, every Thursday I went to the local rescue mission and would preach there and to those guys that had come for a free meal and a free place to stay. And it usually was easy. It usually was good, you know. So this one particular time, I'm talking about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And there's a guy all the way straight back in the back. Back there like J.D. All right, don't do this, J.D. And just like where he's sitting. And suddenly he would yell out, Jesus didn't ever die. And they'd go, shh. And I'd keep going, and he'd yell out, Jesus didn't ever die. And finally, the man came along, and he said, listen, if you're not quiet, I'm going to have to kick you out, and you're not going to have a place to stay tonight, and you're not going to get the meal. Sure enough, Jesus didn't ever die. So they booted him out. You know, at the end of that time, I went out there, and he was there sitting by the bus stop, and I was dumb enough to go out there and talk to him. And so I went out there and I said, why would you say that Jesus didn't ever die? And he said, because I'm Jesus. You know, I don't know where that comes from. I just scooted over on the bench a little bit, you know. Jesus did die, and that's what we find right here first. I want you to see, first of all, that the burial of Jesus is proof of his death. The burial was proof of Jesus' death. If you're there in Luke chapter number 24, let's pick up our reading today in verse number 50. We've been going verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. Notice what it says. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their counsel indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. These proofs that Luke provides for us of Jesus' burial, the fact that it's proof of his death, begin with witnesses. It's not just one person who's saying it. You have to have two, right? You have to have three. And Luke provides for us three of these witnesses. The first is Joseph of Arimathea. I want you to see in these verses that Joseph was a credible witness. He's a credible witness. He's not a nutcase who's talking about aliens and identical twins. Joseph of Arimathea, notice what it says in verse number 50. He is, first of all, a council member. What's he talking about? They're talking about the Sanhedrin. They're talking about the very first group that brought Jesus up on these charges in the first place. Now, the Bible says that the whole Sanhedrin voted together that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. But yet we find and understand that everybody wasn't present that day. One of them that was absent was Joseph of Arimathea. He wasn't there. In fact, you just read it. It says that he was not consenting to Jesus' death. He didn't believe that. In fact, what we discover is that Joseph of Arimathea was a follower of Christ. Luke says that he was waiting on the kingdom of God, and he understands the kingdom of God is here, and he's coming through the person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea has standing in their community because of his place on this council. He's one of only 70 men that they would gather together and trust with that kind of leverage. So he's got some credibility, doesn't he? But notice what the Bible also says in verse number 50, that he is a good and just man. He's a good and just man. This is not someone looking to strike a deal. This is not some convict trying to get some years off of his sentence. This is not someone who has any reason to lie. He is a good and just man. And his testimony is that Jesus really is dead. You say, Tim, I don't see that anywhere. Where does it say that this is his testimony? He laid Jesus in a grave. That's his testimony. He's the one that put him there. Now think about this. Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, are the ones who lower Jesus from the cross. They're touching him. They're handling him. They can feel if his lungs are going up and down. They can feel in his arteries if there's any blood pumping. They can tell whether or not this man is alive or dead. And having that upfront contact with him, what do? They lay him in a tomb. Why would they lay him in a tomb? Because he's dead. That's why. This burial is proof of Jesus' death. And the first witness you have is Joseph of Arimathea, but there's another. How about Pilate? He's mentioned to us there in verse number 52. It says, Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, that's all that Luke has to say about that. But I want you to listen to what Mark has to say about that very same episode. When Joseph goes to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus, this is what Mark says. Pilate marveled that Jesus was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time, and when he found out from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Pilate is a commanding witness. He's a commanding witness. He stands on the witness stand as one who is commanding. Not only does he command the centurion, but he is investigating. He wants to know for sure that this man is dead. That's hard for us to imagine anybody being on the cross for any time whatsoever. Jesus was only there for 3 hours before he died. And it amazes Pilate that he's already dead. It would have been usual for them to hang on that cross, sometimes for days. But the result is always the same. It's always death. Pilate knows that. He sends this centurion to go find out. And so his testimony, his witness, his evidence, Jesus is dead. So Joseph, you can have the body, the dead body of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's two witnesses. That really should be enough, right? That's not all that Luke offers to us. There's yet one more. And this is a group of people. These are the women that are there. In fact, I would have you to see that the women were comprehensive witnesses. They see it all. They find out it all. They know it all. And they're willing to tell it all as well. Pick up, if you will, there in verse number 54. It says, that day, the day of his burial, the day of his crucifixion, this is Friday. It says that day was the preparation. It's the day that they would prepare for the Passover meal that was to come the very next day. And it tells us this, the Sabbath drew near. As soon as the sun goes down on Friday, the Sabbath begins. All work needs to be ended. All preparation needs to be ended. So they're ready to get on with it. Not only their preparation for the Sabbath, not only their preparation for the Passover, but their preparation of the body, the dead body of their Lord Jesus, they begin to prepare for. Look, if you will, in verse number 55. It says, and the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed after. Followed after what? They followed after Joseph and Nicodemus. They followed after them as they carried the body to this tomb. They followed them there. And it says, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. They're observant. They're watching. See, there's some of these theories that say that when they returned to the tomb the next day, that they just lost their way. It was dark after all. And they just went to the wrong tomb. They went to a tomb that was empty and then assumed that Jesus was now alive. That's not what this says. This says they observe the tomb. They find out the what that has happened to Jesus. They find out the where. They find out the when. They find out the how. Their witness is a comprehensive witness that they recognize all of these things. And they themselves know, because in verse number 56 it says, then they returned to their homes and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. These women know that Jesus is dead. They've got enough to do to prepare for the Passover meal. But now they're also preparing the spices for the body of the Lord. They know and they understand that Jesus is dead. Why does that matter? It matters for two reasons. Number one, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Jesus has to die for our sins. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus doesn't come to the earth simply to give us a good example and then say, you're okay. As long as you say that you're sorry, then you're okay and all is forgiven and all is well. No, there's a penalty for your sin. And the penalty is death. Physical death, yes. But spiritual death. Eternal death. Separation from God both now and for forever. Unless something changes, every person will be separated from God for forever. Jesus' death on the cross pays that price and pays that penalty. If you go to a store and you want to buy something, it likely has a price tag on it. And when you get up to the front, to the register, even if somebody else pays for that item for you, you don't have to turn around and pay for it again, do you? Jesus has paid for your sins. You don't have to pay that by yourself. If you decide that you don't want Him paying for your sins, then you can pay for it yourself, but you will pay for it for all of eternity. But Jesus has died that the payment might be made in full. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and He said, "It is finished." He doesn't mean that His life is over. He doesn't mean that the work that He had been done, those miracles and parables, that all those things are now through. That's not what He's talking about. He uses a term that's the same thing that we get when you get a bill and the person at the store stamps it paid in full. Tetelestai. That's what He says. The sin debt of the world is paid in full. It is finished. There's nothing else to be done, nothing else to do, but to repent and to believe. Jesus' death on the cross is necessary because of our sin. Secondly, though, Jesus' death on the cross is important because without a death, there is no resurrection. And without a resurrection, you don't have any hope for eternity? How do you know that you can live for forever? How do you know that God has placed eternity in your heart? Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Because He is alive, we can be alive. Because He is alive, we have hope both for today and for every tomorrow that follows. All right. You know, as Luke writes this, he's not sitting down one day and he's not writing out chapter 23 and continues on and takes a break and then comes back the next day and says, okay, today I'm going to write chapter 24. It's just one long letter, isn't it? When he finishes chapter number 23, Luke is continuing to write and the story continues to write and we keep going as well.
Pastor Tim thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast. And he invites you to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of his message, Resurrection Day, from Luke chapter 23, verse 50 through chapter 24, verse 12. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is Church Office at BrittDavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.